Welcome to Modcast, a Civilization podcast focused on game modding. Rob, R8XFT.
Steve Angolan.
Jan Boruta.
Alpha Shard.
I know this is a Civ 5 modding program, but just this is related. I'm not plugging for that game.
Hi there, I'm Rob8XFT, and welcome to Modcast number 58. Joining me today are...
Jan Boruta.
And Alpha Shard.
Framed Architecture. I'd say my mods, the ones that I've shared, are kind of divided into the five different components that I've put up on Steam as collections. Accurate maps, which is sort of, you know, my basic map scenario making things. Alpha Centauri, which is really only a taste, a larger overall mod I've been working on for a while. I put together a collection called Components. Another one is Historical Scenarios and Faron. Of those five groups of mods, I would say the Faron mods are by far the most popular that I've done.
Yeah, because of the setting, mostly.
Less than 2% of people have ever given me any feedback on my mods on Steam. Although that has changed over the years. I actually remember when Steam first got going, I would have about, say, 8 to 10% of positive feedback on my mods, and now it's down to about 1 or 2%. Maybe there's some fall off there, but yeah, it's not surprising that people use content and don't tell you they're using it or take the time to leave feedback. That's not surprising. Fantasy mods, and I don't just include medieval elves and dwarves kind of things in that idea of fantasy, but also science fiction and so on. That's incredibly popular for good reason, I suppose. People get bored with the base game, the idea of history unfolding, and they want to try something different. And Faron, by the way, is by far not the most popular fantasy type setting or mod that's available.
So we're talking, friend, about Faron. When did that all start?
A friend of mine really likes fantasy mods, and back in 2011 he saw the very first mod that I was working on, which was a historical scenario revolving around the Maya civilization. He saw that and said, I want you to do that for Faron. I said, what's Faron? I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, well, this is the world in which Baldur's Gate takes place. And Baldur's Gate is a game that was quite popular.
I love that world.
That actually meant something to me because I played the video game like so many other millions. It's probably one of the most popular fantasy games. I made a map and he said, well, that's not good enough. You need to make a Civ, and just like you did for your Maya thing. I said, okay, fine, I'll make Baldur's Gate. Well, he kept plugging away at me until I had made 25 of those darn Civs and plopped them on that huge map, and that was sort of the first incarnation. Well, I had it on the original pre-Steam mod sharing components that came with the games. That would be late 2011, early 2012.
Yes, I remember that one. And I remember Faron being there. It was high up the list.
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Already.
Basically just a map with some civs, which is fine. You know, that's a fine thing to do. And so the point where we have what I have now, which is a monstrosity, if you look at it from the code side. And I'm happy to continue working on it, not so much because I'm interested in fantasy settings or things like that, but because it's been a great learning experience for me. I would say that most of the things I've learned about modding, I've learned through making mistakes on that mod. So I'm happy that I've worked on it. And as far as the end product goes, it's somewhat popular, so I'm glad other people can enjoy it. I've recently made a fairly large, substantial update, so if listeners have played with this in the past 2 or 3 years and they want to take another look, it's different enough now that it might be worth another go.
What's different?
In the past, I'd say 8 months, I've completely changed all the units and buildings. And by change, I actually mean delete everything that was in the base game and in the mod before and replace it with new content. Last fall, I introduced an entirely new unit system, unit upgrade system, and spellcasting. And just last week, I finished off another major component of the mod, which was to completely wipe out technology and tech trees and replace that with a building upgrade system, which is more in the vein of traditional fantasies, where as your city or town grows, it has more available to it. So instead of having more buildings and units available to you as you research new technologies, those things become available to you as your cities level up, that is, grow in size. So I have an entirely new building system attached to that.
It's like a total conversion where you changed how many of the things work. I see you have the schools of magic placing the social policy trees. That's really clever.
There's almost nothing left in Faerun of the base game. Other components that have been added, for example, the heroes schema, which is really just a derivative of units, but it's a special types of units that have special types of skills and abilities that grow in power as they gain levels. You might say, well, that's just like the base game. As units gain in experience and levels, they also become more powerful, but they don't gain in strength. They don't gain new spells or abilities. So that's one added little component for Faerun.
Yeah, so speaking of magic, how does magic work, all those special abilities? Like, are those great people actions that are somehow converted, or is it something else entirely?
No, it's a completely new system, and it was built with a new DLL mod, and the DLL that I'm using was not created by me. It was created by a very talented programmer who also is working on a fantasy mod of his own called Wheel of Time, Sergius. So I used his DLL, which allows me to have brand new missions, that is, clickable spell icons on the UI for each unit. And I simply assign those missions to various units depending on what sort of magical spells they've taken in the policies tree. So as you gain more culture, aka weave, in this mod, you're able to learn more spells for your spell casters. And as those spells are learned, they're given a promotion, and this promotion allows them to cast spells at will on the board. So I had to come up with a little spell casting interface so that when you click on a unit and you click on their spell icon, you're able to target certain tiles on the board. So it's a brand new system.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's more tile-based than unit-based, I see. In fact, mostly tiles and then units standing on those tiles.
Right, and of course, there's a wide variety of what that means. For example, there's a spell called Chain Lightning, which is a spell that can bounce between all units that are affected. It's a sort of random. You don't know which units are going to be affected. And then there's, you know, the traditional fireball and invisibility and things like that. So there's a lot of different spells. I think at last count, there was something like 50, and those are assigned mostly to the traditional wizards and clerics.
So the great people, they are characters from the setting?
Yes, they are to some extent actual named characters from the Faerun world. That's right. Although some of them are more generic, you know, warrior, bard, ranger, so on and so forth.
Yeah, so those are the player characters from D&D.
Right. Although there is no interface for creating a hero unit, that creation just happens automatically like any other unit. The difference being that there's some save data attached to that unit, which allows it to become special over time. And they're more powerful than most other units in the game.
So you basically built an RPG out of a strategy games.
No, I would not say that. I would say that Faerun is really just a reskin of Civilization, to be honest. It's not nearly as advanced or interesting as, say, the EA mod, which really does aim to change a lot of the base game mechanics. I think if you play Faerun, it really seems like Civilization, but it's simply got elves instead of whatever, musket men.
Have you used any of the events and decisions mod within the mod itself?
I have not. I created my own events system for Faerun. Heroes go on quests, that is, they visit various city-states in the game, and they get small quests that allow them to bring benefits to themselves or the civilization. And that was done before I knew about that mod, Events and Decisions. So I suppose I could have used that as my base for my mod, but I didn't.
Civilization-specific decisions or a generic decisions across the board, like you could found the Mages Guild or something like that. I don't really know how those things run in Faerun, so maybe you could shed some light on that as well.
Right. Well, the quests or events, I'll call them events, so it's the same context as the other mod you were discussing, tied to specific units, that is, the hero units, the special units that gain in strength over time in Faerun. And those units have to go out into the world and visit city-states. City-states are the locus of these quests. That's where they happen, and you have to visit specific city-states in order to get specific quests. And there are choices. Do you want to do this or do you not want to do this? There are rewards and benefits for choosing either option. Some of those quests require the hero to continue on with the mission in a traditional quest pattern. You know, go here and do this, those sorts of things. So it's not exactly like the events and decisions mod. In fact, it's really nothing like that. Although, I suppose I could have used that core mod for my own. It just didn't occur to me.
You do seem to have some events, though, in there, which is great. Because I was just wondering, with it being a story, the original sort of Baldur's Gate ran on kind of a linear story, events happening through in some format would be useful for the mod.
I see what you're asking. Yeah, no, Theron is not like that at all. Again, it's really Civilization V that's been reskinned. That sort of idea of a scenario I abandoned long ago after I decided to do the G&K version of Theron. The original version of Theron was very scenario-based. These civs start in these places, and certain things happen just as they would have happened in that world. But that's very limiting, and I don't think people play Civ for that kind of experience. I say that with some confidence because the historical scenarios that I've done are not particularly popular, whereas the open-ended sandbox-type games are. Who can blame people? That's why you buy Civilization for the sandbox experience. So I've tried to steer Faerun in that direction. And then there's another reason that I've tried to steer Faerun in that open-ended direction, and that's simply because that's what the world of Faerun is like. It's a multicultural, open-ended world where anything can happen. That's why I think a lot of these Dungeons & Dragons adventures have happened there, because anything can happen there.
Anything can happen when you believe in magic.
Right? Or the gods, and, you know, it's not limited to just magic. Yes, there's many nations, there's many races, there's many cultural groups, and there are many professions, mages being one of them, and there's varied topography, and all those things are the same sorts of things that are in the base game of Civilization. So I don't think it's irrational, actually, to have made a fantasy mod based on that world.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Did you consider doing some reskins for the cities?
Not really. It's certainly possible. The way that you can force the city icons to be invisible, and at that point you can use a improvement graphic to overlie that spot.
Yeah.
And in that manner, with a little Lua magic, you can make things look different. Is it worth it? That's something that I always ask myself in my mods, is it going to be worth the time and effort that I would have to put into that to make much of a difference in the game? And my answer for that is not much of a difference, and I would rather spend time on adding content or adding new Lua mech. And that's sort of my overarching mod approach anyhow, is I always ask myself, is that going to be worth it? And of course, I'm asking, is it worth it to me? I'm not particularly interested in graphics to start with, so my answer for graphic stuff is usually, it's not worth it to me, which is why I've never made any unique units.
Yeah, but at the same time, you reskinned all the terrain graphics, like there are lava fields and ash and all that kind of stuff in certain map types. So,
Yes.
At least a portion of the graphical side is taken care of, and it's already a big one, to me at least.
Yeah, the graphic stuff, I have to say, of course, I'm deeply indebted to the work that's been done by many great artists, such as yourself. Everything that's graphically oriented in the Faerun mod has to be attributed to someone else, and I'm happy to do that. As far as the terrains go, I picked up some terrains from a modder named Load Runner, and then simply changed some of those. It changes the way the world looks, and I realize that's important to users, what it looks like. It's not important to me, but I realize that it's important to many users. So I've tried to have the best artist possible. Back in the fall, actually, a person named CNote1001 very graciously agreed to make all new leader art for Faerun, and that upgrade has been amazing. It looks fantastic, 1,000 times better than anything that was in the mod before. But from my own side, things that I want to work on, that's just not usually where I want to place my efforts, is into graphical stuff.
That's cool. I was just hoping somebody had worked out after that, other than the improvement suggestion that you made.
Yeah, I did a little trick like that for a small mod that I made called Ocean Cities. When you found a city on an ocean tile, it's already invisible. That is, the traditional city graphic is invisible. It can't show up on water. So I had a little looks like some different little graphic when you found that ocean city. So it's, it would certainly be possible, Rob. Yeah, you're right. It would be possible to do that. And it might be something for the future. It's just not on my list of things to do right now for Faerun.
Okay.
How about religion? In the Dungeons & Dragons setting, religion is kind of an important thing with all the clerics and different gods' blessings. So is it somehow represented in the game?
Yes, and I must admit, very poorly. It's been one of the areas of the mod that I've gotten a lot of complaints about. Rightfully so. I think it's the weakest thing that I've worked on in the mod. That said, I have tried to make religion more important, and more importantly than that, make it more in line with the Faerun world. Religion in Faerun is not at all like it is in the base game. You don't found religions. You don't try to spread your religion. Faerun is a very multicultural place. Many religions exist in all cities happily side by side. And that's not an effect that's easy to get with the base game.
Yes, definitely. I can see that.
Yeah, so to overcome that, I've sort of, you know, done my little scrabbling thing on the edges of that to try to make it work a little bit more like Faerun. In the most recent iteration of Faerun for B&W, what I did was I smashed together the ideology idea with religion. So now ideologies have been renamed to a certain extent to good, neutral, and evil. And those ideologies are attached to your religions. Or cults. The way that works is you purchase religious beliefs with faith in the same way that you purchase policies with culture. So as I gain more faith, I'm able to open up more of my good, neutral, or evil abilities, which is certainly as it should be. But more importantly than that, I try to reward the player for having many religions in their empire. For example, there are new methods to provide gold for each different kind of religion you have in your cities, or provide happiness for all the, say, for example, neutral religions you have in your cities. There are 15 religions in Faerun, and it's very possible to have all 15 of them in your cities at one time. That's not a problem. Now, the way I'm able to accomplish that is by having zero religious pressure, and by making religion not a big deal as far as diplomatic relations go. In the base game, when you get to the medieval era, your religion versus their religion is a very important diplomatic tool, but not so much in Faerun. In Faerun, the diplomatic relations are moved over to the traditional good, neutral, and evil. If you're evil and I'm good, then we hate each other, that sort of thing. But having no religious pressure means that you have another question that opens up, that is, well, how do I get religions into my city? How do I get religions to spread? Say, I want that religion in my cities. How do I get it? Well, I have all the religions founded on the very first turn, and they're founded in the city-states. In order to get religions into your city, you have to send your heroes on quests to those particular city-states. And in that way, you choose which religions are put into your cities. Because when you complete a quest at a particular city-state with a particular religion, a few of your people will convert to that religion. In that way, you sort of sculpt the religions that are in your cities.
Yeah, it seems like a much more active system on the player side. So you have to take action instead of just founding a religion and waiting for it to spread, essentially, which is kind of boring.
Well, I don't think that's boring in the base game. I like the religion system. It's just sort of that system turned on its head. Instead of me wanting to found a religion, that's not an option anymore. And instead of wanting a monolithic religion and wanting to spread your religion to as many people as possible, that's actually just the reverse. I want as many religions as possible into my cities. So yeah, it's different. And I think that's been one reason why there's been some complaints about that. It is so different that it's not obvious that this is the way it should work. And of course, a big part of that is my fault. I haven't documented that well, and probably could be done much better than that. But that's the concept behind religion in Faerun. There's definitely an incentive to get a lot of faith and to spend it.
Good.
I did take out science, so I replaced it with the health and plague mod.
Right.
So instead of having science, now you have another yield to manage, and that is health. And that seems more in keeping with a medieval world. In a medieval world, in a fantasy world, people managing science, that doesn't seem natural, so I took that out in the last go-round.
Wow.
Well, that gives us a nice little segue.
Yeah, I thought you might like that. Right?
So was it actually Theron that motivated you to do Help from Play?
Not at all.
Oh.
But a lot of the recent updates that I did to Health and Plague were motivated by me knowing that I wanted to incorporate that into Faerun. So I made a lot of updates to that Health and Plague mod in the past, say, 6 months.
Yes.
Because I realized that that was going to have to take the place of science in Faerun if I ever went down that path.
And I benefited from that as well myself.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad that people like that mod. Health and Plague simply came out of, in 2012, people were asking me again and again and again to make a mod with plagues and disasters. This seems to be a fascination with a certain segment of the Steam population of users. We want volcanoes and we want earthquakes and we want everything to die. Okay, well, my take on that was to have the plague mod, and I call it the plague mod because that's really how it started. It was not health at all. I never intended to introduce a new yield into the game. It wasn't something that I was even capable of doing at the time. I simply wanted to have a little disaster mechanic. That little idea, since 2012, has blossomed into that mod.
Right.
Yeah, Civ lacked some disasters that were present in Civ 4.
Yes.
At least some of them. So having this one was a really nice change of pace for a couple of games.
I'm not particularly fond of disasters, but I know this is a popular idea not just among Civ users, but among video game users and people in general. I mean, how many times have we seen end of the world? World movies. Or I remember in the SimCity games, there was always like some sort of alien abduction disaster where aliens would come in and zap your cities, and people love that. I don't, but you know, okay, fine, to each his own. And I think it sort of stems from that. And I still see occasionally on comments on Steam that people want more disaster mods. Are there disaster mods? Are there tsunami mods? And so on and so forth. So.
Yeah. I think one of the things that Plague does very well is that it can destroy a city completely. I play on smaller maps most of the time. I enjoy playing on those. And, of course, the spaces for cities gets taken up fairly quickly when you do so. So to have the possibility of one of the cities actually just suddenly no longer being and there being another opportunity for somebody to settle there is quite interesting.
Yeah, well, it is interesting. I like that option, but I realized from the very beginning, having introduced that into Health and Plague, that a lot of users would not like that at all.
Yes.
So I do have an option, a front-end setup option, where players can simply click and disable that, and that's as it should be, I think. In fact, I'd say most of the complaints that I've gotten about that mod, Health and Plague, and also some helpful comments, have been that the plague part is just overwhelming. And I don't know if you've followed the mod over the years, but it's really evolved from being that disaster mod, a 90% disaster mod, to being now, I'd say, mostly 90% the yield mod. And the disaster part, the plague part, is really a minor part of the way that mod affects the base game. So I think it's perfectly possible, actually, now to play the mod, turn off plagues completely, that's another option, and simply have another yield in your game. And I think a lot of people like that. And the health yield is a way to have cities grow faster and to be rewarded for choosing good starting positions for your cities, a way to be rewarded for managing your buildings and managing your resources. And that is something that I think people like.
Yes, definitely. Health and Plague, I had some very good time. My only complaint would be that sometimes the plague outbreak seems either too random or too scarce for me. Sometimes I have very bad health and no plague whatsoever for 100 turns ever breaks out in a city. But it always comes from a foreign land. And I think that, I don't know, AI probably doesn't get any health benefits because it shouldn't. But sometimes to me it feels random a bit.
Well, it is.
There's not enough feedback as to when a plague could occur.
I see what you're saying. Like, there needs to be some sort of user interface that better explains to the user where or when a plague might break out. Is that what you mean?
Yes, I think so, because currently the interface only shows health by city in your empire and your overall health percentage.
Yes.
But it doesn't tell the player how much this negative or positive health percentage influences the chance of outbreak of a plague.
Right.
I just like the information.
You're right, yes. Keep in mind, of course, that when I made that mod in 2012 or 13, that my skills were very much lower, I would hope. You know, I suppose that for the people who are modding and coding out there and listening to this, you know what I mean. Once you get something on paper and it works, you're kind of loath to change it. And so a lot of the stuff that's in that mod is simply leftover genetic material from the very first draft. It's very hard to overcome that inertia. And you say, well, I'll just rewrite it. Well, yeah, okay, fine, just rewrite it. But a lot of those sort of random things are simply me being stupid at Luba coding. And were I to rewrite the entire code today, it would be very different. And I agree with you, Jan. I think I would go along the lines of much more predictable lines of transmission. And that's not because I think that's the way plagues work. I think plagues randomly break out in random places, as we've recently seen with the MERS outbreak.
Yes.
But this is a game, and users want to feel like they have some control over the world, even in this case of something being quote-unquote random. I understand that criticism, and I agree. I think that the mod could be much better in the way that these plagues propagate across the landscape. And there could be better user feedback, of course.
Plagues can be still random.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they operate. Just the feedback that the player gets on the chances of the outbreak could be a bit better.
Initially, when I first made the mod, it was just completely determined where the plague would break out. It was always in the city with the absolute lowest health on the board. Unfortunately for city-states, that always meant them, because city-states don't have the start bias of starting on rivers or fresh water like
yes.
the regular, you know, civ players do. So they were invariably the sickest, most horrible, shoddiest, stinkiest cities on the planet, and if you happen to spawn near one of those guys, then, you know, bad luck for you. You get plagued all the time. So I changed that mechanic a while back to be more truly random, in that there's a city on the board with negative health, well, you're up for grabs, and that's why it seems a little bit more random, and there isn't any feedback on that for the user, and there certainly could be.
I don't mean that you have to have knowledge of cities with the lowest health even when you didn't meet the civilization they belong to.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. And I don't think the player can get any feedback on such cities. So plagues coming from foreign lands are okay to be random, at least, because you have to defend against them. But when you have a chance for plague to break out in your lands, you should have to know about that a bit better, at least, because you can judge from the health numbers you have, but sometimes it's not as clear as it could be in such an information-heavy game as Civilization.
I've made some changes to the Health and Plague mod to fit it into Faerun, and I plan on backporting some of that stuff into the main mod. The major one, in response to some complaints I've had about that mod, is I just don't have any way to combat plagues. I can't do anything once I have a plague. I just have to sit there and take it.
Mm.
Well, that's actually historically realistic.
Yes.
Sorry. But, yes, again, it's a game, right? And you want to make things challenging but fun. And so I'm going to backport some of my changes for Faerun that allows the player to combat that. Mainly being there will be an actual doctor, great people who are able to end plagues, and a way to shut off your kingdom or your empire from others and close borders sort of thing. Another thing is that there's a mechanic in Faerun where priests can pray and reduce the effects of the plague. So I might backport a part of that idea so that in the medieval ages and in the height of religion ages in the main game, there'll be a way to use religion to combat plague.
Wow, that's good.
Maybe the religious buildings you purchase with faith would help with that. Just like the religious sites were also sites of early hospitals.
One good thing about a recent change that I made in the Health and Plague mod in response to some criticism is the way the plague actually affects cities. In the past, what happened was a city became plagued. It was an on and off switch. And when that happened, there was a dice roll every turn to see if there was going to be a plague effect. And that effect was to lose population. Well, that's kind of random, and you never know. You could get hit with a plague, and the city could have nothing happen to it, and you could get hit with a plague, and every turn, that random roll could cause population loss. Again, it's realistic, but not particularly fun. So in the most recent iterations, how that works is the plague is much more devastating to cities that have low health. So your health is lowered by an amount equal to the number of turns that you would be affected by the plague, which in turn is affected by how low your initial health was. So you can see that that's a snowball effect. A city with horrible health would be affected with tons of turns of plague, and tons of turns of plague turns into tons of more negative health. So there are ways, because of that mechanic, that you can offset that mechanic. It's not an on-off switch. It's a dynamic range of things that you can change. And again, that's where the praying for health would come in. You can simply say, well, they prayed in that city and God answered their prayers, and now their health duration is reduced by half. Okay, great.
One of the other mod components that you did was the reforestation.
Right. Again, that was a spin-off of another mod called Global Warming. I initially had the reforestation, which is a very simple idea, right? The workers go out, they build a plantation, the forest grows up there. Big deal. It's actually an extremely easy Lua mechanic to do. I was able to do that when I knew hardly any Lua. I initially had that idea in my Global Warming mod because that seemed to fit. As I build more forests, there's more CO2 sink, or however that technical jargon goes. So that was a way to combat global warming. I said, you know what? I'm going to spin this off as a little secondary mod, and someone wants to use it, they can. And if they don't, if they want a more challenging global warming experience, they can have that. Well, turns out that I was exactly wrong. Global warming was not popular and despised and got all kinds of horrible ratings and comments from people who say that global warming is a hoax. And reforestation is apparently a very popular mod. Well, that's fine, but yeah, that's what it does. Plant a forest, it grows. Great.
That does seem to be counterintuitive to people wanting disaster mods, but they don't want the global warming mod. That does seem weird.
Well, I think that's specific to this global warming is a hoax idea. Well, it may or may not be. Who am I to say, be in a position to say whether it is or isn't? I just made a mod, you know, that was actually along the lines of things that had been in the past Civ games where there was pollution and global warming. And so
it's always interesting to see people have a visceral reaction to something that you just made pretty innocently. It's like, okay, here's an interesting idea, and then suddenly people are riled up over nothing. It's a game. Don't worry about it, whether it's a hoax or not.
Somehow no one complains about a Hitler Civ that has great generals of the SS who can get additional science. Implied concentration camps.
Right.
No problem.
Yeah, you don't get ideological conflicts over Faerun, thank God, right? So you can do whatever you want in
exactly.
a fantasy world, and you don't get blowback. But you make a real-life mod or something that's even inspired by past games, and oh no, that's a bad thing.
In the reforestation mod, one thing that people have said that have used it in conjunction with my mod is that you can build forests, but then it'll let you build another forest on top. It doesn't seem to recognize what the terrain is that it's doing it on.
Yeah, that's as intended. That's exactly the way reforestation works in the real world, too.
All right.
You chop a forest, you get the benefits from that, and replant a forest at the same time. That's sort of, I would say, the raison d'etre for the
mod.
So you can increase your production a lot in cities that where you dedicate a worker to building the forest.
Right, so if you build a forest on forest, it does the chopping of the original forest, then builds another one, so you get the production bonus. I'm with you. I mean, I thought it was a good way of using the grass on tiles, really, because there's no production from them normally. They're just normally tiles where you get some extra food, and if you're just surrounded with loads of those tiles, then you've got a slow-moving city. But if you can get somebody building a few forests around, or reforesting a couple of those tiles, especially when you can build some improvements on there to increase the production, that's a good mechanic to have.
Yeah, I know people have used that reforestation in ways that I hadn't really foreseen. For example, as a defensive tool, you know, you build a wall of forests towards your most violent neighbor, and that will slow them down, and hopefully you take forest promotions, or that'll allow you to use that as a defensive barrier.
Or playing as the Iroquois.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Yeah, the production monger.
Although making a road.
Iroquois sucks so bad. I mean, why anyone ever choose to play Iroquois in the first place, even with reforestation. I added the ability to spawn forest resources on the plot that is reforested. That was by request, and I think that's another reason that people use that mod. They build forest, hoping for some uranium or something of that sort. Yeah, so another little benefit of that mod.
No, I would take deer over uranium any time.
You're not new, Cappy.
No, I'm not. I prefer conventional Wolver. I love my tanks.
It's funny, you know, the people always focus on my least favorite mods. I actually hate reforestation. I never use it. It's useless to me. Global warming, I think, is just a bad mod from a gameplay concept idea. I don't like it. I don't like Health and Plague that much. I only really play it when I'm testing it. I was just looking at the ratings for global warming, and it's 15% negative ratings.
Wow. Ouch.
Yeah. That's on principle. Those are not people that have actually tried the mod to see if it works the way they say it works. That's just, I hate you for saying there is such a thing.
Well, that is also because Steam Workshop is a cesspit for a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm divided on Steam. I love the ability to share my mods with more people. And that's why I take the time to put together a link and all the other pictures and stuff, is because if another person can enjoy something I've made for myself, that's fantastic. But as you say, the Steam user is someone who most likely probably hasn't played much Civ and certainly hasn't played many mods. So you get a lot of really diversionary and bizarre comments that are not useful and in fact can often lead you on a wild goose chase, particularly if you are using user comments to try to edit your mods to make them better. I just want to make clear, I'm not bashing on Steam users. I'm in the same position with regards to every other game or mod that I might try in other games. Steam users are fine. I like them. I like people who like the mods or don't like them. That's fine, too. It's just not a good place to try to refine your mods. It's a good place to put them when you know that they work the way you think they work.
Move Capital, which recently you joined in a conversation in the thread where somebody didn't particularly like it, but I did. And you're saying it was more really for the AI to be able to move the capital.
Yeah, I was actually surprised when I first put that mod out there and people said, well, you know, this is just a way to avoid losing in a domination victory. I said, really? Are you ever in that position where you would like to spend 10,000 hammers to move your capital, whereas not spend 10,000 on units to defend yourself? Okay, well, fine. I suppose that you could use it for that. But no, I designed that mod for the AI. The AI sometimes starts in a really bad location, and their capital, the capital bonuses from the palace can't make up for that. Why not give them the opportunity to have their capital in their most productive city, which is usually their largest city? And that's where that came about.
Possibly because I'm not the best player. I start off with some of my capitals, because you can only see a small part of the map, of course, in a place where later on in the game, I think, well, maybe second or third city would have been a better place for the capital. So I could see it being practical for...
Yeah, that has happened to me as well.
Yeah, it's designed like any other national wonder in that the more cities you have, the more expensive it is to move. So it's in your best interest, if you're using it on the player side, to move your capital as soon as possible, right? Oh, that would make an excellent city site. I wish I had my capital bonuses there. I'm going to found a city there and then move my capital when I only have two cities, and then I'll be able to reap the most benefits from that.
Hey, it's kind of a throwback to Civilization 4, when you could just build a new palace.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, this has been a little component of all the past Civ games. And it's historically realistic. I mean, how often has the capital been in one place for all of eternity? You know, not very often.
I really hope scenarios take off, because recently JFD has been updating scenarios from Brave New World to updated with new Civs and new modded Civs and all kinds of stuff, and well, we could get some new ones. Like, you know, we have the Andean scenario, we could get maybe an update to this old Egyptian scenario or something like that. Those different settings, like I remember a scenario from Civ 4 called Charlemagne, really fun, in a different setting from everything that was seen before.
Yeah, I love scenarios. Obviously, that's where a big part of my efforts went into in the first couple of years that I was modding. And like you, Jan, I remember fondly a scenario from Civ 4 that was set in the southwest part of the Arabian Peninsula, you know, Yemen today, Oman, that sort of thing. It was fascinating. I loved it. I'm a history buff. That's probably why I'm drawn to Civ anyhow. But as far as interest in historical scenarios, I don't think there's much interest for that out there. Not on a large scale. Of course, that shouldn't stop anyone from working on historical scenarios if that's what they're interested in. But I don't think that's ever going to be as popular as standalone Civ Mod or something like that.
That seems to be the way things have gone with Civ 5, hasn't it? It's been like the standalone Civs with the extra bits as it's come along, you know, with Piety and Prestige, Events and Decisions and all the different things that you've got to get ready for. But with scenarios, with the previous iterations of Civ, scenarios have been popular, not so much with Civ 5, and unit creation, terrain creation, and new city graphics, as I mentioned earlier in the modcast. Those are all things that were kind of done quite a lot in the other versions of Civ, but not so much for Civ 5.
Yeah, there are technical limitations to changing the city graphics.
Yes.
Which is the only reason why people haven't changed both terrain graphics and city graphics to a much more, to a greater extent. It's simply that. Now, as far as interest in historical scenarios go, I don't know. Maybe I'm generalizing too much there because, of course, Gedemon has a World War II scenario that's incredibly popular. I'm not particularly interested in World War II scenarios, but maybe that's a World War II specific thing, and maybe that's just because it's such a fantastic scenario. I've never played it, so I don't know.
But the scope is magnificent.
It's a great mod.
Well, I played it in an earlier kind of version, I think still in Gods and Kings, early in Brave New World, and it was overwhelming with features, unit types, mechanics, like conquering each tile as you move with your units, creating a front line, something like supply lines, manpower. It's all really overwhelming and not entirely realistic, but giving away a sense of realism. It's really fun.
Oh, cool. I'll have to try that out.
So I hope this takes off because it's a big moment and it deserves a spot and an honorable mention. One of the best for Civ 5.
Calling today in North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, 44121-288-7659. That's 44121-288-POLY.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
You can Skype us at the Polycast or email us at thepolycast@gmail.com. For more information on Modcast, our sibling shows Podcast, Revcast, Civcast and Turncast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at thepolycast.net.
As far as art goes, I hate the Civ 5 look. I just hate it, and I'm sick of it. Sorry, but the whole rays coming out of everything, it's like it hurts my eyes, and the whole Art Deco UI, I just hate
Don't
it.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare hate on it. I was thinking about it today.
It's soft. It's filtered. I like more of that hard edge, black line, maybe more towards the comic book side of things.
Well, in Gods and Kings, they started making softer icons.
Yeah, with more detail.
Yes, and back in Brave New World, they kind of merged the vanilla style, the angular vector-like, with the amount of detail from Gods and Kings. Kind of an amalgam, but the whole art style of the game got me into it in 2010.
Really?
Yes.
Into the Art Deco, looking at that stuff?
Yes, I loved it from the moment I launched the game, and I love it still.
Well, I went to architecture school, and the sort of Art Deco revival was big when I was in school, and it just, it irks me. I don't like it shiny. It reminds me of toasters and huge Fords, and it's wasteful and shiny and bad.
Of course it's wasteful, but yeah. It means money.
But they never dropped the damn rays. Why does there have to be rays coming out of everything? Why?
Because
are these aliens?
Civilization is glorious.
Yeah, but okay, a sewer system with rays coming out of it. A granary with rays coming out of the cow's butt. Sorry. That's weird.
It's the light of progress. You can't change it.
Yeah, the light of progress from the bull's ass.
It's got to start somewhere.
It does, and that's probably where it did start.
The question is, where will it end?
I think we've got a good session.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. This is it for Modcast number 58. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for listening. Me, Jan Boruta, was joined by
Rob, R8XFT,
Alpha Shard,
and Framed Architecture.
See you around next time.
See you later.
Thanks for having me on.
Cheers.
He said, well, this is the world in which Baldur's Gate takes place. And Baldur's Gate is the game that was quite popular.
I love that world.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hello. I don't... sort of like a voice from above. I'm sorry. I was a little startled by that. I thought it was the voice of God.
I'm sorry to interrupt that badly. So just continue on, Famed Architect.
No, I'm all for making it as hard as possible for the editor.
Okay, so what should we do? Should we start again, or...?
No, keep going.
Okay. We didn't get your name when we introduced the... So do you want to just say your name and then...
Yeah, this is Alpha Shard, and then Dan can adjust that if he needs to.
And he's going to be pasted in over and over.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so... yeah, so
wow, basically... that sounds really bad.
No, I'm still thinking about the... that answered the question I was going to ask.
Am I rambling too much? I'm your only guest.
Not at all. No, please do.
So I feel I have to fill time.
No, we've got you on so we can discuss your stuff. So
we need to have enough content for an hour.
A lot of goop for the editor.
Yeah, that would be interesting. But then again, if you have all the cultural differences, it's so much art to be done. It takes time.
Yeah, right, time and money, right, Jan? Let's hope they do that. They'll hire you, and you'll have, you'll just work on two civilizations for 3 years.
I'd like to work for Firaxis someday.
I was hoping you would. I don't know why they wouldn't have already hired you. Your art is better than theirs in many cases.
That might be the thing.
Maybe you really do work for them, and you're just spying on us. There's a lot of really popular Civ 5 mods. In fact, I think if you look at the top whatever 100 list or something, there's a lot of those are fantasy mods.
Hmm.
Rob, what does that mean when you go, does that mean,
I'm just saying, it's just like a final thing,
Look, if you need to stop stammering and move on, just tell me, that's fine, I don't
know. It wasn't meant in that sentence, it was just like, I didn't know what to say.
Okay.
It's agreeing.
Alright, I hope we would talk about the global warming mod a bit more, because I had some things that didn't work in it.
Oh, okay. this is a bug-fixing section.
Welcome to Bugcast.
In the reforestation mod, which you said came from the disasters one...
from global warming, yeah.
Global warming, that's the one. Sorry.
Too many disasters, not enough time.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I had a little bit of a power outage. Did I go offline?
No.
Okay.
Well, we didn't notice that you'd gone.
Okay, good. It's Missouri, so I guess power is optional around here.
I think one thing that I would like to see, maybe on a future modcast, is somebody...
I disagree, and I hate you for saying that.
Oh, well,
is that good content now?
But...
Sorry, Rob.
Global warming is a host. Oh, yeah. Host.
I'm sorry, Rob. Go ahead. Do you think it's mostly people making mods who listen to this, or is it mostly people who play the game who just are interested in mods and don't know what's out there?
There are some non-modders who listen. We had some comments from them, so someone's calling us right now.
But now you tell me that we're supposed to be entertaining. Ugh.
Yeah, well, we are meant to be entertaining. Record date.
June 13th, 2015.
Civilization 4 and 5 sound clips, copyright Take-Two Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.